Well, I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2 is page 949 in your pew Bible. Page 949, it is Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. Page 949. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning as we read God's Word together in unison. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 2. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses. And we were by nature children of wrath like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Thank you so much. Oh, thank you. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Today is celebrated, it's found in the Acts, the second chapter, but today is the day in which we celebrate the birth of the church, in which the Holy Spirit was poured out. Jesus told the disciples in the Gospel of John that I'm going back to the Father, and I'm going to ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit. And so today is the day in which we celebrate that coming and that birth of the church. So the Day of Pentecost banner is hanging. These two other, lectern cloths, these two others are of the United Methodist Church. So Yvonne, once again, thank you for sharing your gifts and talents with us. When you think of that day of Pentecost, that was a true interruption in the lives of the 120 that were gathered together. They were assembled together. Acts chapter 1 tells us that they were 120 in the upper room. They were praying together. They were waiting for that time because Jesus told them, wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit is poured out. And God interrupted the prayer meeting that they were having in order to pour out the Holy Spirit. Do you like to be interrupted by someone? You know, most of us don't like it when we're talking and we're carrying on a train of thought and suddenly someone just takes over the conversation. And of course, that person always says, I hate to interrupt you. And you want to say, no, you don't. If you hated to interrupt me, you wouldn't interrupt me. I hate to interrupt you. And it throws off our whole conversation. It throws off everything. The word interrupt is defined as to stop the continuous progress of an activity or process, to break the continuity of. Some of the synonyms for the word interrupt are cut in, break in, barge in, intervene in, or interject. You know, most of us, and I don't like to be interrupted. But then there are some interruptions that are good interruptions. Like you finish supper and you're sitting at the table carrying on a conversation with somebody and you don't notice it that somebody has left the kitchen and they come back and set a bowl of homemade ice cream in front of you. That's a good interruption. A good interruption is when you're watching television or you're reading your book and the phone rings and you look at your caller ID and it's one of your children or grandchildren coming. That's a good interruption. A good interruption is when you're taking a nap and the doorbell rings and you go to the door and there's someone from Publishers Clearing House with one of those big oversized $1 million checks. That's a good interruption. There are good interruptions. But then there is the best interruption. The best interruption is when you realize that you are dead in trespasses and sins. and that you're under the influence of the prince of the power of the air, that you are a son or daughter of disobedience, that you're living in the lust of the flesh, you're indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and are by nature children of wrath, and grace interrupts your downward spiral into hell. That is the best interruption. And that's exactly what Paul said occurred in verses 4 and 5 of Ephesians 2. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. I firmly believe that God delights in interrupting the circumstances and situations of our lives with grace. Just like a parent loves to interrupt the routine of their child just to surprise them and do something, there's something about that interruption. When I was in elementary school, I attended Seeley Memorial when it was on 7th Avenue, where the police station is now. And my mom would pick me up every day from school. And almost always, unless she needed to do something for my dad, we would drive to the intersection of 7th Avenue and Monroe, and we'd make a right-hand turn going north out toward where we lived at the intersection of Monroe and Livingston Road, where I-10 is now. But every now and then, not always, but every now and then, maybe every 6, 7, 8 weeks, my mom would get to the intersection of Monroe and 7th Avenue, and rather than make a right turn like she always made, she made a left turn. And that always meant that we were going to Dairy Queen. And we would go to Dairy Queen and pull up at Dairy Queen, and she'd give me a quarter, and a quarter would buy 2 ice cream cones, and one of them could be a dip top. And then we would sit at one of those tables at Dairy Queen. That was a good interruption. I think about all the good interruptions that God has brought into my life. I think about 2 of them sitting here. Good interruptions. When you think that life is going in one direction and this is the way it's going to be, and then grace interrupts your life and takes you in a different direction. How about you? Can you think of any grace interruptions that have happened in your life? I can think of several that the scripture tells us about. I think of Abraham and Sarah, whose lives were interrupted. God gave Abram and Sarah a promise. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Abram at this time is 75 years old. His wife is 65 years old. They've never had any children. But verse 1 of Genesis 12 says this, "The Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." Abram, your life has been going in this direction for 75 years, but I want you to change it. I'm going to give you a left turn when you come to that intersection. Abram, for 75 years, you've always made a right turn. But today, Abram, you're making a left turn, and I want you to go out into a land that I will show you, and I'm going to give you that land. And Abram, I'm going to make of you a great nation. Abram and Sarah fulfill God's wish, God's command. They make that left turn. They head out into the land of Canaan. They go into a land that they do not know anything about other than that God has told them to go there. For 25 years, Abram, whose name is later changed to Abraham, and Sarai, whose name is later changed to Sarah, for 25 years, they hold on to this promise that God has given them, that he's going to make of them a great nation. And in Genesis chapter 18, beginning in verse 10, it says, "The Lord said, I will surely return to you at this time next year, and behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, or my husband being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old?'" And then God asked Abraham this question, "Is anything too difficult for the Lord?" 25 years ago, they made a left turn. They began going out into a land that they knew nothing of. They went there as nomads. They wandered from area to area. And now God shows up 24 years later when Abraham is 99 and Sarah is 89. And he says, "In 1 year, I'm going to come back and I'm bringing you a baby gift. Because in 1 year, when I visit you again, you will have a son." And Sarah is so used to the routine of life and the circumstances that she has, and she's come to a place of realization in her mind. Her reality is, "I will never have a child. I'm too old. It's that time of life is past me now." But God said, "There's nothing too difficult for the Lord." Romans chapter 4 says this, that Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, believing that what God has promised, God was able also to perform. God interrupted. God butted in. God said to Abraham and Sarah, "Pardon the interruption, but you're going to have a son in 1 year." And it makes me wonder today, are there any dreams in my life, any dreams in your life that you've given up on? Sarah had given up. She'd waited 24 years for that promise. She could look in the mirror and say, I know that it will never happen. What God has said is never going to happen. That's just apparently Abraham and I just misunderstood God, or God meant something different. But here she is, 99 years, at the age of 89, and she has a child. She names him Isaac, which means laughter, because she realized that it was just a year ago that she was standing in the tent door laughing at the promise of God. Have you given up on any of your dreams? Does life seem overwhelming, and it seems like the best response is just to tuck your head and say, "This is just the way it's going to be. This is the way my life is. Nothing's going to change my life. This is how it's always going to be." And I just want to remind you of what Paul said, but God. God can interrupt our lives. God can bring life back to those dreams. God can bring life back to those things that you thought were dead. God can change your reality when you come to the intersection and you think, "I know we're turning right. We always turn right. It's just my life. I turn right," and God is at the wheel and says, "No, we're going left. I'm interrupting your life today. I'm changing the circumstances and the situation of your life today." I think about the shepherds whose night was interrupted. You know, it was just a night like every other night. They were born shepherds. They were raised as shepherds. They had always been shepherds. Their fathers were shepherds before them. They knew everything about being shepherds. It was just the same old thing. You get up in the morning, you take the sheep out, you feed them, you find them water. You watch out for the mountain lions, you watch out for the wolves, you watch out for the bears, you make sure nothing's going to bother the sheep. And late in the afternoon, you start herding them back. You get them back to the place where they lay down, you build a fire, you sit there, somebody has to keep watch to make sure the animals don't come, you try to sleep. It's the same thing day in, day out. Maybe like your job, clock in, clock out, clock in, clock out. Same old thing, same old widget, same old routine, same old factory line. It's just the same old assembly line. You know, Henry Ford said you can have any color Ford you want as long as it's black. It's just one way, and this is the way it has to be, and this is the way it's always been. And I'm sure the shepherds sort of had that same mentality in their mind. I was born a shepherd, I'll live a shepherd, I'll die a shepherd. My son will take over my place. He'll be a shepherd. His son will be a shepherd. On and on and on and on it's going to go. Nothing will ever change. Until Luke chapter 2. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." One night, God interrupted their lives. God butted in. God broke into their routine. God broke into their circumstances. God broke into their lives. And their lives would never be the same after that one interruption when God broke in. So it makes me ask, maybe in your life, have you lost your enthusiasm and your zeal for life? Have you just sort of settled into that rut that this is the way it's always going to be? This is what my life is. I'm going to be this until I retire, and then I'll have to be something else, and this is the way it's going to be. Is there the excitement gone? Are you like the shepherds who are just, "I tend sheep. It's my job. That's what I do. I tend sheep. I take care of sheep. I know how to take care of sheep. I know what to do to take care of sheep. Nobody can teach me anything about tending sheep. I know all about it." Until suddenly, one night, God butts in. God interrupts your life. And God says, "No, things are going to be different." You know, the Bible tells us later on in Luke chapter 2 that they went back to the shepherd, back to the fields, back to the sheep. But I have a feeling their lives would never again be the same. Well, I think of one other person whose life was interrupted. She was a widow woman. We don't know how her husband died, what the circumstances were. The Bible doesn't tell us. But her and her husband had one son. And after her husband died, the last of her hope was in her son. Because if her son would live, it would be his responsibility to take his mother into his home and to provide for his mother, to make sure that her needs were met, that she had a place to live, that she had food to eat, that she was cared for, that she had all the care that she needed until she died. She would be his responsibility. Until he died. And again, the Bible doesn't go into any details about what happened. But her son died. And now she is left desolate. She's lost her husband. She's lost her only son. But not only is she suffering the loss of her husband and the loss of her son, but now she has lost her life as well. There will be no Social Security. There will be no welfare. There will be no government assistance. She will either have to find some kind of little jobs to take care of herself, to provide an income, or she will just eventually die, because there will be no one, unless someone just has a gracious heart and takes her in, there is no one who will take care of her. Luke chapter 7 tells us her story. She's walking out following the coffin. The coffin is being carried. Her son is laying on top of it. His lifeless body is laying there. They're taking him out somewhere to a cemetery or a cave to bury him. People are mourning and grieving. And this was not some quiet funeral procession. This is people are throwing dust up into the air, and they're yelling and they're screaming and they're crying and they're tearing, because they realize that what this woman is going through and what she's now facing. They're not just grieving for the loss of her son. They're grieving for the loss of her own life. Verse 11 of Luke 7. Soon afterwards, he went to a city called Nain, and his disciples were going along with him, accompanied by a large crowd. Now, as he approached the gate of the city, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a sizable crowd from the city was with her. She doesn't realize it. She doesn't know it. She's so consumed with her own grief, watching that casket being carried out, and there's the lifeless body of her son lying on it. She probably didn't even recognize that Jesus is now, as they're coming out of the gate, he's coming into the gate, but God is getting ready to interrupt her life. God is getting ready to butt into her life. God is getting ready to change her life in a way in which it had never been changed. I love how Luke said this. When the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." Now, you know, it's a wonder that she didn't just slap him. Do not weep. Remember, that was the same, almost the same terminology that Jesus said when he came to the house of Jairus in John chapter 7, I believe, and the people are wailing and weeping and they're crying, and Jesus walks in and says, "Don't weep, she's only asleep." He says to this woman, "Do not weep." And he came up and touched the coffin, and the bearers came to a halt. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. At just the right moment, and just when it seemed this woman could not bear anymore, when it seemed like her pain, her grief, her sorrow, her future was walking out to a cemetery, and there was no hope left for her, God interrupted. God butted in to her life. At just the right moment, Jesus can show up and do the very same thing for you. You may believe that everything is over, that your best days are behind you, that you're always going to live in this pain, that the doctor was right. This is what you have, and this is how you will die. That the lawyer was right. Your life, as far as it has been, will never be happy again. That your boss was right when he called or she called you into the office and said, "You're no longer needed here." That they were right. That your dad or your mom was right when they said to you, "You'll never amount to anything. You're just like your father. You're just like your mother. You'll never be anything." Maybe you think, "Gosh, they were right. Look at my life." But I want you to know something. Grace can interrupt your life. When you think that you are following your dreams and your life to the cemetery, grace can butt in. Does your life today need an interruption? Is there an opening where grace can step in? Regardless of the magnitude of your problem, regardless of the size of your heartache, the severity of your pain, there is no time in which grace cannot interrupt. Grace can cause your life to make a left turn when you just assumed that your life would always make right turns. You know, I remember, I don't know how they do it now, because now the news is always scrolling under the TV screen, but there used to be a time when the TV would be on and you'd hear this, and you'd hear somebody say, "We interrupt this program to bring you this special news bulletin." And then, boom, there it was, Walter Cronkite. I wonder, if you and I could hear what was going on in heaven, if there might not be a doot, 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 doot. We interrupt heaven today to bring you breaking news, and your name is called, and somebody says, today, grace is going to interrupt Ron Hardcastle's life. Today, grace is going to interrupt Joe Prado's life. Today, grace is going to interrupt Carolyn Jordan's life. Today, grace is going to interrupt Ken Peacock's life. We don't hear it, but it doesn't mean that it's not happening. Paul said, this was the track that your life was on. You were a child of disobedience. You were caught up in the lust of life. Your life was being directed by the prince of the power of the air. You thought you were in control, but he had the wheel and he kept making right turns. But Paul said, but God chose to interrupt. And he still chooses today to interrupt our lives. You know, I was thinking about it this morning. If I could, if it were possible to take something and reach into your spirit where your grace is, where your faith is, where your expectancy is, where that optimism is. And to just reach there and begin to stir those embers up and to begin to blow on them, that they would once again begin to glow and grace would again begin to arise. And that you would walk out the doors of this church today saying, who knows? Grace may interrupt my life today. Today, when I get up on Monday morning and I think I've got to get in the office and I've got to get ready because I've got calls to make and I've got, I call it dialing for dollars. I got to get on the phone and start calling people and I've got to make appointments and I've got to drive to that appointment. I've got to try to sell. Who knows? Tomorrow, grace may interrupt my life and interrupt my day. Who knows? That even now, there's a broadcast going out in heaven. We interrupt this program to bring you breaking news. Grace is getting ready to interrupt Pisgah United Methodist Church. God is getting ready to butt in to Pisgah United Methodist Church. God is getting ready to change the pattern, to change the way it's always been. God is getting ready to take a church that has always made right turns, and suddenly God's going to say, no, we're turning left. God's getting ready to break into your life and to butt in, to interrupt your life, to ring the doorbell of your life, and when you throw open the door, see God standing there saying, I've knocked at the door. You've opened the door. I'm ready to come in. Father God, today I thank you for how you butt in to our lives, for how grace interrupts our lives, for how grace is so much more amazing than we can even imagine. Lord, even how we have compartmentalized grace and we think it's all about this song that was written by a former sea captain. But Lord, grace is greater, bigger, stronger, more powerful, deeper, higher, wider than we can even imagine. And you use grace to interrupt our lives, to butt into our lives, to say you've been making right turns for years, but today we're making a left turn because I have something planned that is more special for you than you can even imagine. I pray today, Father, that our faith would begin to grow, that the sparks would be reignited, that the embers would be stirred again today, and we would walk out the doors of this church saying, this could be my grace interrupted day. This could be the day that God butts into my circumstances, butts into my sickness, butts into my pain, butts into my sorrow, butts into this deep, dark hole, and brings life and light. Give us those eyes. Give us those ears that far away in heaven we can hear. We interrupt this program to bring you a breaking news. Grace is breaking in today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.